Let us turn again to the chapter we read together, to Joshua chapter 1, and let us consider verse 8, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Joshua 1 at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is in that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Well, the children of Israel are shortly to cross the River Jordan and make their way into the promised land. Joshua is now their leader following the death of Moses, and a tremendous responsibility rests on him. And yet, the Lord who appointed him is giving him encouragement for the tasks that lie ahead. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 6, he is told, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. And then in the next verse, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all this law. And that, of course, is covering partly the same ground as our text this evening. But while this was primarily for Joshua in the first instance, it's for us. It's for all of us that we would pay attention to the scriptures. Now, the scriptures that had then been written, that would be as far as Deuteronomy, they certainly were known as the law. It wasn't all law, it wasn't all commandments. There was history in it. For instance, the book of Genesis was very much history. But all of it taken together was to teach Joshua, and it is to teach us, though we have so much more than just Genesis to Deuteronomy. We have Genesis to Revelation, and we are to live in the light of that whole book of Scripture. And the Lord is saying to us, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And though parts of Scripture, and many parts of Scripture, might not be explicitly law, still they are telling us how we should live. The histories of Genesis are telling us how we should live, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And very often it's by way of example that we are being taught from Scripture. So, this book of the law was not to depart out of Joshua's mouth. Perhaps we could take that as implying something rather wider. Not out of his mouth, not out of his thinking. It's to influence his whole life. And he was not only to read it, he was to meditate on it. And he was to do so day and night, continually. And if we should have the word of God in our thinking, we should meditate on it, not only read it, but think about it and seek to be able to apply it to any particular situation that we may come across in our lives. We are to observe to do, we are to be careful to do, we might put it, according to all that is written therein. And then there's the promise, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. And the alternative given for have good success, which is as translated, very much in parallel with being prosperous, but there's an alternative translation given in the margin, do wisely. And so we might try to look at these three points, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. First, the law, the scriptures, in other words, were to guide Joshua's whole life. The scriptures are to guide our lives. In the second place, Joshua must meditate on the law seriously. And he must do that continually. And the seriousness comes out in the expected result that he would observe to do according to all that was written in it. And you see, whatever we find relevant to Joshua, we're to seek to apply to ourselves. There'll be things, if we were to go into enormous detail, that wouldn't apply to ourselves in the same way as Joshua. We have the whole of Scripture, for instance. Joshua had just the first five books of the Bible. But the third point is that Joshua would then act wisely and he would have good success. And we will try to apply that to ourselves also. First, the law was to guide Joshua's whole life. Second, he must meditate on it seriously. Third, he would then act wisely and have good success. Well, the first thing is the law. What he had of the scripture was to guide his whole life. And we've already mentioned, what is obvious anyway, that we have the whole of scripture revealed stage by stage and all given by inspiration of God, and all of it profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And you see, because that is so, Joshua was to use it to guide himself. Use it so that it would guide him, that's a better way of putting, so that it would guide him through the various steps that he took through life, the various duties that fell to him, the various difficult duties. Where would he go for direction? Where would he go so that he would know what to do? Well, the scripture would give him principles. The law of God will tell him what was particularly law, what was particularly commandments, would tell him in more detail how he should act. And we have the whole law of God, the whole of scripture. It's there to direct us. It's there as profitable. Do we realize how profitable the scriptures are? Profitable for doctrine, for teaching. Profitable for proof, to tell us when we're going wrong. Profitable for correction, to show us the right way. And then, profitable for instruction in righteousness. How do we live a godly life? Is that an important question for yourself. Have you come to this question? How can I live a godly life? Well, the Bible is profitable for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is profitable. God made it. God gave it. God inspired various men to write various parts of it. He kept them so that they did not write any error, any inaccuracy. He guided them so that what they said would be profitable for people in all generations who would read it. Yes. But if we take just for a moment the scriptures as law, and in particular the five books of Moses as law, what's that? What are they saying? What are they saying in their function as law? They're saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. You see, obedience to the law is love. First, that we would love God. And second, that we would love our fellow creatures as ourselves. So that we would be asking, what would I do, or what would I want others to do if I was in that man's or that woman's position? We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. How do we know what we should do? Well, we should be learning as we go along through life. We should be learning from our reading of Scripture. The principles of Scripture should become embedded in our thinking. You see, you could say about a truly godly man or woman, they seem to know what to do in every situation. They seem to know how they should behave. They seem to know how they should think. And why is that? Well, for one thing, the Holy Spirit has been blessing the truth to them so that they understand it, so they understand the principles of the Word of God. And we should be anxious to learn these principles. It's not that we have a guidebook which we can go to in every detailed situation. We turn over the pages, we look it up. What does it say? No. But you see, we should have principles that guide us. And we should be asking the Lord to write the principles of His Word in our hearts. And then we can hope to know how we should live. You see, the law, the Joshua was to he wasn't to allow these books of Scripture to depart out of his mouth. He was to be not only meditating about them, we'll come to that, but he was to be taking them in, and especially taking in the principles. What a great matter it is to have a good grasp of the principles of the Word of God. And you see, that's why we have so much in the Word of God about what various people did. Take Elijah, David, or Paul, or Peter. Now, we're to learn from them. How did they react to situations? It's not that we're to follow them always. We can't. They were imperfect creatures. And so we're to say about David in various situations, like when he went down to the land of the Philistines, And you could say it didn't work out for him. Perhaps that's not a very good way of putting it, but you could say that. But what you should say is, he didn't have God's blessing. He went away out of the path of duty. He went where he shouldn't have gone. The Lord had preserved him in Israel. Many dangers, yes, but still the Lord had preserved him. He didn't need to go down to the land of the Philistines to be safe. And without going into details, you see, there's a principle there. We're to wait upon the Lord, we're to trust in him, not put ourselves into spiritual danger. One might say about a situation, I can see danger ahead. Well, maybe. And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to go into more serious danger? Are you going to put yourself in spiritual danger? You see, that should be a principle with us, and I'm only giving that as an example. A principle to avoid spiritual danger and to cast ourselves upon the Lord's safe keeping. Yes, we can sum it up. There's principles appearing throughout the Word of God, and as we read the Word of God, we should be, as it were, taking them out. Here's another principle, or a set of principles. I'm in Micah chapter 6 just now. What does the Lord require of thee? Well, what does the Lord require of us? And there's three answers. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Two of them directly speak of our relationships to other people. To do justly, to be righteous in all our dealings with other people. That's a principle. How am I to conduct myself in relation to other people? I must be just. I must be fair. I must commit myself to the Lord, asking him to guide me in the way that I live. And to love mercy. And to love acts of kindness. That's what we're being told. And then, in relation to God, and everything is in relation to God, to walk humbly with thy God. What is it to walk humbly? Well, just briefly just now, to walk humbly is to submit oneself to all the ways of new obedience. To submit oneself to the will of God. That's what we're being told. God has spoken. We're to submit. Yes, always. We're to submit to the principles, these principles, and all the principles that we pick up as we read the Bible and as we meditate on it, and asking the Lord to bring suitable principles to mind when we are in particular situations. The Lord has control over our minds. The Lord has control over our memories. And he is able to bring these principles to our mind. But especially the law, the scriptures, were to guide Joshua as to salvation. How was he to get safely through this world and safely to heaven at last? And that's related to the question that we find in the book of Job, chapter 9. How should man be just with God? But how should man be just with God? There may be many another question asked. This should be our main question. as we go through life, are we asking, how can I be accepted by God? Are you trying to find an answer for that? And asking the Lord to apply that answer to your soul? Well, it's an answer you hear often enough. I'm not giving many answers, but I'll give a very plain answer just now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you believe on Christ, if you look to him as the one who came into the world to save sinners, you will be saved. You will be justified. You will be accepted by God as if you have never sinned, for the sake of Christ and what he has done. Yes, you are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be seeking him. Yes. And particularly to young people, I would say, in the words of Ecclesiastes, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember your Creator while you are still young. The younger the better. Yes. Go to the Lord, who is your Creator, who gave you your existence in this world. Go to him and ask for salvation. Ask him to save you now. Ask him to apply to your souls what you have heard about Christ dying in the place of sinners. Yes, look to him that you might have his blessing. You see, Joshua was to use the law, the scriptures, as his guide through his whole life. And you see, he was to be strong and very courageous to observe, to do according to all the law which Moses, God's servant, had commanded him. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Make good use of the word of God. That's what Joshua was being told. And that's what we are being told. Make sure that you make good use of the word of God. Asking the Lord to bless it to you. Asking the Lord to apply to you the principles that are set before you in the word of God. And ask the Lord to apply to you the teaching in particular about sin and salvation. But let us go on and notice that he must meditate seriously on it. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, all the time. Now, of course, we need to give our attention to other things as well, some more than others. But, you see, we should make it all the use we can of the opportunities that we have to learn from the word of God. Remember the direction the Savior gave. He gave it to the Jews who were not doing what they would, not making the best use by a long way of the word of God. He said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Search them. Go through them. Looking out for principles, as I was saying already. Looking out for pieces of teaching, which may be in the form of principles, or which may be more detailed. You see, what will we get from the Bible if we open it in a particular occasion? Well, God knows. And we should be asking him to bless us as we read a portion of the word of God. He must meditate. He mustn't be careless if he forgets what he has read. His heart must be in it, as Moses was telling the children of Israel sometime previously, oh, that there was such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That there was such an heart in them. You speak about somebody doing some piece of work, and you might say, his heart isn't in it. He's not feeling involved in it. He's not feeling there's any importance in it. Or you might say the opposite. His heart is in it. He feels the importance of this. Well, what we have here is that our heart should be in our reading of the Word of God and in our meditating on it. Our heart should be in it. Yes. We should be asking the Lord for his blessing. We should be asking that the Word would come with power to our souls. Are we concerned to get good from the Word of God? Are we concerned to get good from the preached Word? When the Word is opened up, but an attempt is made to do that, an attempt is made to explain what is in some part of the Word of God, or various parts of the Word of God, are we earnestly asking God that the Word would come with power to our souls? Yes. Oh, that there was such an heart in them, so that they wouldn't be careless, but that they would meditate in God's law day and night, and that they might put these things into practice. Now see how you have it in Proverbs chapter 2, at verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, that's earnestly. If there's a gold rush anywhere, or if there was in the past, lots of people were flocking there, and they didn't just work 9 to 5 or whatever it might be. They were trying to maximize their opportunities of finding a nugget or two or more of gold. Their hearts were in it. Well, we should be searching for knowledge, spiritual knowledge. We should be searching for spiritual wisdom. Are we? In that mine, which is the Word of God. That's where we're to go to get true wisdom. But if thou seekest her as silver, earnestly, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. If we are earnest about our souls, and earnest in seeking for good from the Word of God, we'll get wisdom, we'll get spiritual wisdom. We're to be making use of the means. Yes. We're to be making use of the Word of God. We're to be making use of of public worship. We're to be making use of meditation. We're to be making use of the throne of grace. We're to go earnestly there and to seek a blessing. We're to be earnest in prayer. Not using words as if it didn't matter. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. That's how the Shorter Catechism sums up the teaching of Scripture. It's an offering up of our desires. And may our desires be in it when we are trying to pray. May it be an expression of desire as before God. That's how it should be. Well, we should be asking for that. We should be in earnest. It should be as if we were searching for silver. And this is something more valuable than silver, to get spiritual wisdom. Yes. And to take an example, there was Solomon. He's just been put in the throne of Israel, and he finds it a very responsible undertaking. So he asked the Lord. The Lord has invited him to ask for whatever he wanted. And he says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. There was this great responsibility that he had to judge. There were other things involved in his ruling over the people. But he had to judge. And if the Lord would guide him, then he would understand the evidence being put forward. He wouldn't be put off a right way of thinking by somebody tells him a whole pack of lies. And he might have two completely different versions of the same incident. How is he going to distinguish? Oh, give unto thy servant a discerning heart, an understanding heart. And how are we to know how we should go through this world? How are we to know how to avoid a sin and to choose what is good? To flee from sin and to choose what is good, and to be willing to make that choice. Give unto thy servant an understanding heart. That's what we're to be asked. As people go off on a new course in life, go on to a new stage in education, or begin work, or move to new employment, there's one thing that you should be asking, and older people too, give unto thy servant an understanding heart, so that I would know what is right and what is wrong, so that I would have wisdom, so that I would be able to apply the principles that there are in the Word of God. That's what it is. That's how we are to live. Give unto thy servant an understanding heart. Yes. And there was the psalmist who wrote Psalm 119, and he says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. He hid God's word in his heart, not just that he skimmed over a few verses without taking anything in, but he hid it in his heart. He put it in his mind. He tried to remember it. He tried to meditate on it. And his aim was so that he would not sin against God. He hated sin. He didn't want to sin. He wanted to live a holy life. He wanted to live to the glory of God. Have we got anything of that? The fear of God was mentioned in one of the verses I quoted. I didn't comment on it, but the fear of God is an important idea or set of ideas. It's people seeking to live to God's glory. It's seeking to submit to God and to his commandments with their whole heart. Being afraid, not because of the consequences, that's not the main thing, but being afraid of dishonoring God by their sin. So the psalmist wanted to have the law in his heart. He wanted to have the principles of God's law, of God's word, in his heart. And so should we. We should want to live in the fear of God. We should want to live with a holy attitude to God and to his commandments. We should be asking the Lord to make us holy. We should be asking the Lord to cleanse us. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep me from presumptuous sins. Keep me from sins that I know are sins, but I still go after them. Well, keep me from that. That's what David was praying. That would be Psalm 19. We should be asking him to keep us. Oh, what a great expression that is. How suitable for people like us to be using. Keep me. Whatever you want after that. You see, that's a great matter. Keep me. Keep me from evil. Keep me from sin. Keep me from breaking thy commandments. Keep me from being careless about thy word, and so on. You see, it's an acknowledgement of the power of God to keep people like us. And there is that power. And we should be wanting it. Keep me. Keep me from sinning against thee. Yes. But let us notice in this, also in Deuteronomy chapter 6, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. We've had something along these lines. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them. There should be in families, if the Lord would keep us, a sense that family life is governed by the word of God. So that children grow up with a sense that what they do and how they live is to be according to the principles that there are in the word of God. Then, the Lord, then parents can look to the Lord to bless them. And yet, let us remember this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Christ speaking, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven. It comes to the same thing. Not everyone that makes loud noises about how godly they are, or how much they value religion, or whatever it may be, saying Lord, Lord to Christ, giving him outwardly the glory that is due to them. Who will get into the kingdom of heaven? Who are already in the kingdom of heaven? Those that do the will of the Father. Those that do the will of God. That's a great matter. And that goes along the same lines as what I was trying to say a few minutes ago about seeking to follow the principles of God's word. Yes. What we are to acknowledge is that we need the work of the Spirit, as that is pointed to in Jeremiah 31, when the Lord says, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. He will do it. And so let us be going to him again and again and again, asking that the Lord would make us feel his authority and make us feel the authority of the word of God, so that we would be brought to a true spiritual obedience. And then there's a third thing. Joshua would then act wisely and have good success. Now, in the Old Testament, as compared with the New, there's more of an outward acknowledgement on the part of God of the obedience of those who keep his commandments. That he blesses them outwardly. That's much more prominent than in New Testament times. You see, in the New, under the New Testament, we're to be thinking of spiritual blessings more. Those who had God's favor, like Solomon at first anyway, he got large outward blessings. And you see, those who heard about Solomon, they would say, he has his God's blessing. Now, in the New Testament, God's blessing is more an inward thing. And that's what we should be seeking. If Israel were successful in battle, you could draw the conclusion they had God's blessing. They had good success. Well, they had good success at Jericho, because they were obedient. They were looking to him. They didn't have good success at Ai, because there was somebody in the camp who had been covetous and had taken off the spoil that he had no business to put his hands on. Yes, they didn't have success. But you see, there's still spiritual blessings to be had. You see, why is there some kind of success for God's people today? Spiritual success, spiritual blessing, a sense that the Lord is with them. Yes, that would be a sign of having good success, and that they have been wise, that they have been wise in following that which is right and shunning what is not right. You see, the Lord thy God is with thee. That was the promise to Joshua. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Because he did meditate in the book of God's law. He was wise. He was seeking to follow God's principles, the principles of Scripture, as these had been revealed. And you see, we are still told, Proverbs chapter 3, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's true today. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Acknowledge the principles of the Word of God. Acknowledge that God is able to help you, and he will direct thy paths. He will direct thee. Whichever way you should go, yes, it mightn't be through a conscious influence on what we decide or how we decide. It may just be that God orders his providence so that we make a wise decision. You see, we're to be dependent upon God altogether. And the more we are meditating on the Word of God, the more we are taking in the principles of the Word of God, the better. Yes, then we will have good success. What is success in this world? What's success in this world? I don't mean according to the ideas of worldly people, but surely success in this world is getting onto the, I don't want to put it in any, or to suggest anything worldly, but you see, the blessing of God on a sinner in this world is that he would get onto the narrow way that leads to everlasting life and be brought into eternal life at last. You see, in Proverbs 13 we read, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. You see, people striving to be rich, and perhaps not justly, or mercifully. But they strive to be rich and they succeed. And in the end of the day, they have nothing. They lose it all. And on the other hand, there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Making himself poor by generosity, it may be, or be avoiding taking unjust ways for making oneself rich, but he has great riches. And I would take it that the great riches pointed to there are spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. Oh, what a difference it would make to this world if everybody was saying, in that, if everybody was praying, Lord, give me such riches. Give me spiritual blessings. Write thy word in my heart. Pardon all my sin. Unite me to Christ. Bless the word to me. Apply it by the Holy Spirit. And so you could go on. Give me spiritual riches. Not so that one would be spoken about as wonderfully godly or whatever it might be. But you see, wanting these blessings for the good of our souls, wanting these blessings, that the Lord would keep us from evil, that the Lord would keep us from thinking foolishly, speaking foolishly, acting foolishly. There was David, and he was pretty young still at that time, and he had that tremendous victory over Goliath, the giant. But you see, he behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. He behaved himself wisely. Why was that? Well, one would think it's because he was committing himself to the Lord's care and keeping. And that's how it should be with us. Committing ourselves to the Lord's care and keeping. And so he walked wisely before the people. He wasn't blundering. He wasn't drawing attention to himself. He was going on quietly. Oh yes, David had a responsible path to take. And there were times when David acted foolishly. But you see, the Lord brought him back. And we should be asking that the Lord would keep us. David's there as a warning. We're to follow the examples of the godly as they were following Christ. That's the sort of way that Paul puts it. He wants to others to follow him, to the extent that he follows Christ, knowing that he was so prominent in the Church of Christ. Yes, it would be good if people followed him, but only to the extent that he was following Christ. And that should be, it should be the same with us, that we would be following Christ and seeking to follow Christ and seeking to the Lord that he would keep us, and continually, that we would be receiving from the principles of the Word of God what we learn as we read the Word of God and meditate on it. Yes. And you see, there was Moses not so very long before this, and he was speaking to the Israelites. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve him, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to possess it. You see, at the end of the day, if we do not make use of the means of grace, and I mean a proper spiritual use, getting good from them, asking the Lord to bless them to us, then we will perish. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. If we do not, then we will perish. We will not prosper. We will not have good success. Oh, for wisdom. We need wisdom from above. Yes. And you can follow Psalm 1. You can see how both sides of the matter are pointed to us. There's those who bring forth their fruit in their season, those who are in the kingdom of God, but on the other hand, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff that the wind bloweth away. How solemn, how solemn. But you see, take the picture of those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and who in some measure have been thinking about the Word of God and praying over it and seeking to get good from it. You see, what are we told? Blessed are they that do His commandments and have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Yes, into heaven itself. Blessed are they. What about our situation? Have we got God's blessing? Are we seeking God's blessing? Are we seeking that He would bless us as we listen to the call of the gospel? And these words just now, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord is speaking to us. He's speaking to us through His word. Let us make some use of the present Sabbath so that we will get good from our souls, for our souls, from the Word of God, and get some good for our souls through pleading for mercy at the throne of grace and seeking that the Lord would apply to us the truths that have been set before us here today. May the Lord bless His word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, may we get good from Thy word. May we be in earnest about our souls. May we be receiving these principles that are in the word of God and asking Thee to bless us, to bless us with all spiritual blessings. Do not leave us, but grant that Thou wouldst follow us through life, that Thou wouldst not cast us off, but that Thou wouldst be giving us good for our souls. Bless Thy word wherever it goes forth. Bless those who read the scriptures and meditate on them. Give us a blessing for time and eternity, that may we be seeking unto Thee. May we have no hope but in Christ. May we know that there is salvation for even the chief of sinners, and that we are sinners, that we are, O Lord, if we are still rejecting Christ, how great is our sin. May we take notice of that, and may we come before Thee, seeking for Thy blessing. Pardon our sin. Keep us from evil. Go before us always. Draw us by Thy grace. Put us on the way to heaven. May we be looking unto Jesus for His sake. Amen.